Well, we appreciate the presence of each one this afternoon. That was another great meal we had just a little while ago. We appreciate all of those who brought food for that. Good to be here this afternoon. And I'm not going to continue the lesson that I started this morning. We'll come back to that maybe next Sunday. But I want to pick up on another thought this afternoon. I want to talk about health. What the Bible says about our health. We know that the emphasis is always on your spiritual health. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus told his apostles, don't worry about the man who can kill you. Take your life. But be concerned about God who can consign you to hell. Be concerned about that. Put the value on your spirit, not on your body. Now, it also tells us to value the body, but to value it as less important than the spirit. The spirit is what you are. The body is what you have. And you're going to be given another body on the resurrection morning. So it discusses all of those distinctions, and it's very, very important to get a hold of all that. And yet, understanding that we stress the spirit still is encased in the body, and having to do with the affairs of this life, food and drink and raiment, still the body is of concern. And then you think about all of the maladies of the body, the problems that we have because we are in the body. And life is like that. And it's always been like that since Genesis 3. And so I want us to think about some Bible truths regarding physical health. And we think about these things, I guess, a lot, and especially when another one of our loved ones passes away. And we think about our precarious, in a way it looks like a precarious situation. It's not really precarious because God's providence is in control, but from our viewpoint, somebody might say, well, I'm just a heartbeat away from death. And that's right. David once said, there's just a step between me and death. It's a good way to say it. It's when he was running for his life. So you can think about it like that. You know, as far as just the way things go, I could die any moment. We heard about two cases this morning of people that have recently had strokes. Well, some people don't recover from strokes. And others have mild strokes and others have severe strokes. At any rate, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 10, it came to pass as he sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your teacher with the publicans and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what this meaneth. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous but sinners. Now usually, of course, we stress the part of that that has to do with the spirit. And Jesus wanting to, he came to help the sinners. But his illustration, you know, is from the common things of life. Don't you understand that sick folk need a doctor? Well, just as sick folk need the doctor, the sinners need the Savior. It's also true that both the sinners and the saints sometimes need a physician when they become sick. And that's what we're going to talk about. The first major point of this lesson is this. We all lost access to ideal health when Adam and Eve lost access to the tree of life. Genesis chapter 3. That tree was there to preserve human life on the earth forever. And after the sin was committed by Adam and Eve, God says, well, we're not going to let them get back to the tree of life now and eat of it. Because if they get back to the tree of life and eat of it, they'll live forever. They'll live forever in sin on the earth. And that was not the eternal purpose. That was not the program in God's mind. He's going to have a situation where you're going to live simply for a while on the earth and then go to eternity, either heaven or hell. So when the sin came in, death came in two ways. Death passed to all men, Romans 5:12, because all sinned later on. But we all die physically because Adam lost access for us to the tree of life. If we could get back to the tree of life today like that, you could perpetuate your life on the earth. But interestingly, of course, in the last book of the Bible, in the first book of the Bible, we lose access to the tree of life. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation, the tree of life is now described as a tree that is in heaven. It's not on the earth now. We lost access to it. The function of that tree was historical. It went out of the way. Now, here we have this tree in heaven whose leaves are for the healing of the nation. Those whose names are written in the book of life have access to the tree of life. So we lost ideal health. We lost access to the Garden of Eden and the tree of life. And everybody else, including Cain and Abel, were born into an environment where you face the rigors and the problems, the maladies, the infirmities of the flesh. Well, it's an interesting thing. But after we lost access to the tree, interestingly, number two, the Bible teaches that the vitality of the created species, mankind, at the fountain of creation, it was so vital that life just kept going in people for years and years and years and years. Now finally death caught up with us. But we were created with such vigor that we read of people living 900 and something years. Knowing what I know about life and my situation now, I don't think I will live that long. But if I lived way back then, and if my constitution was stronger, if I were nearer the fountain of my species, Adam and Eve, and I came forth with great robustness and vitality, I wonder what that'd feel like. I asked a man yesterday on the phone, what's it feel like to be 80? He says, old, old. He repeated it. Now, Methuselah, let's get him in 969, wherever he is. And that's what it was, Genesis 5:27. What's it feel like, 969? Oh, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. You think about that. Adam, Genesis 5:5, the first man lived 930 years. Now you read over that, but think about living through that. 900. And Methuselah, 969. And then Noah comes in at 950. But by the time of Abraham, Genesis 25, we've gone down to where it's 175. That's quite a fall, quite a drop. 175. And by the time of Moses, Deuteronomy 34:7, it's 120. And by the time you get to Psalm 90, the psalmist says, if the days of thy years be 70 years, or if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength but labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So to the psalmist, 80 years, that's what Charles Conley was, 80 years. 80 years is an old man. It used to seem older than it does now. 60 now seems older, 70 in a way. Well, at any rate, our years just come and they go. But if we'd been back closer to the fountain of life, we would have had a longer life. But finally, it's just commonplace now. 80 years old, and not everybody makes that. Number three, the sickness you read about in scriptures, it sometimes eventuated immediately in death. Other times, it did not. That is, we read the deaths of some people. Some people's deaths are not reported. It all had to do with the nature of the difficulty, the nature of the problem, the care received, the age of the patient, perhaps. Maybe it had to do somewhat with the will to get better or not. Maybe it had to do sometimes with prayers being offered for them or not. We read of the deaths of a lot of people, and some of these cases involve God's prophets because they helped them, or the Lord helped them, or the church helped them, or whatever. Lazarus died, John 11. We all receive consolation from the contexts of discussion when we read about somebody passing away and what the Lord said about it. or what the Lord did about it, how the Lord felt about it. That's reassuring, because we know when our loved ones pass away and we have to go to the funerals, it's a very, very emotional thing. It's a sobering thing. It's a sad thing. Well, at any rate, Epaphroditus, Paul says in Philippians 2, he wanted you, brethren, to know that he recovered from his sickness. He almost died. There were close calls, just like in our lives. We don't know if he's going to make it or not. Sometimes in our own experiences, they make it, and many prayers are offered. And sometimes, though many prayers are offered, they don't make it. That's the way it is in life. That doesn't mean prayer doesn't work. It simply means God is working out His will that's not beknownst to us in the particulars regarding those cases. Trophimus, 2 Timothy 4, Paul said, I left at Miletus sick. You know, even those who worked with Paul, sometimes they couldn't go with him that day. They couldn't be with him. They couldn't travel with him. They couldn't attend him or help him. Why? Well, he got sick. I had to leave him at Miletus, sick. Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:23, had his often infirmities. He was sick a lot. If he had been in the congregation where I was preaching in the early church, he might have taken Ridgely's place at the top of the sissy list if he had to miss services very often. He had stomach trouble, which is not pleasant, and his often infirmities. So why was he born like that? Did he have an accident and turn that way? We're not told. We're just told that was the nature of the situation with him. We have people like Lazarus and Dorcas. Acts 9, Dorcas died. Peter raised her from the dead. But there was a lot of sorrow in that upper chamber before Peter got there, when the widows were thinking about the good Dorcas who had passed away. Death is so common in Scripture. It's so common in our experience. But it never loses its fascination. Now, a lot of things are common and we have not a lot of interest in them anymore. Or we don't think about them all that much. Death is one of those very, very common things in human experience. But you never cease to be impressed, especially when a very close person experiences it and you have to think about it from close up. Or if you're in an accident or you contract a disease and you get very, very sick and somebody says he may not make it. It may be common, but my, it only happens to me once. And it only happens to you once. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. Number 4, interestingly, in the Old Testament system of Judaism, God promised Israel, even though they had lost access to the tree of life, He promised them that in this first covenant, if they would but walk in His commandments and be faithful to Him, He said, I'll give you good health. Now that was just one of the blessings, one of the benefits. I'll give you good health. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 15, Moses says, now you know what it was like in Egypt when you were down there? And you know what the Egyptians suffered down there? If you'll be faithful to God, He'll put none of these diseases on you that the Egyptians experienced. None of these diseases. Now, I also said, if you turn on Him and you're not faithful to Him, He'll give you plagues 7 times worse. So, in this carnal system, in this combination spiritual-physical system, He said, if you'll just be with Me, it's not simply a matter of going to heaven. I'll let you have a good life down here where you don't have the sicknesses that other people have. Now, as the story fleshes out, and you know the history, well, they just didn't do it. They just wouldn't do what He wanted them to do. And so they suffered in this life what they didn't have to. So by the time that the Lord gets here for His personal ministry, hundreds of years after their initial failure, there are a lot of sick Jews, a lot of problems in the camp of Israel, and lepers. And so there are those kinds of things that the Lord Himself deals with to demonstrate the power and the love and the compassion of God. The Lord dealt with all of these kinds of things. For example, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, Jesus went about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of disease and all manner of sickness among the people. There was a lot of it, if you've studied Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And people, once they understood the Messiah had come, someone is here who can not only preach and teach the gospel, but He's healing people. And we even saw Him raise the dead. My goodness. Do you think you'd develop an interest in a person like that? Would you want to be close to somebody like that? Would you like to have him come to your house? Somebody with power like that? Well, Jesus Christ had plenty of opportunity to demonstrate God's love and compassion on diseases because there was a lot of it. And it didn't have to develop like that. But it did. Number six. The early church, of course, then followed suit in the steps of Jesus. After Jesus went back to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost of Acts chapter 2, the church came into existence. And the early church then confronted there and other diseases out there in the world. And in the church, God put that gift of healing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. So that, for a while, this again would show God's love during the days of the actually existent kingdom on earth. And this would be a sign. God loves and He has people in the church that can heal people of their diseases. Now, they had doctors around. Doctors can only do so much. And as I mentioned once before, in 2 Corinthians 12:12 and also Mark 16:17, the signs, the apostles had a package of signs. Twice it comes up, at least in those two passages, you have a plural subject and a singular verb. And the reason you have a singular verb is because the plural subject is being discussed as one package. The signs of an apostle. The signs, this is one package. One package of apostle. Apostle signs, apostolic signs. So the apostles could heal and do the other eight things. And those who had the gift of healing could raise people up from the sick bed. And don't you think you'd like to know somebody like that in the church? And you begin to wonder, well, I hope brother so-and-so lives a long life. I hope he's around for a long time. And you wonder how many cases of sickness were addressed by those with the gifts. But we know too, that God did not just allow indiscriminate use of the power. Why couldn't these people just keep themselves healed all the time? Why did any of them die? But finally, the healers died, and others died. These signs were for purposes to confirm the word and to help the non-believer to come to an understanding of the truth. But there was the gift of healing. Number seven, obviously, throughout the Bible, people wanted good health. Just like I do. Just like you do. And we try to sympathize and empathize and pray for people who don't have as much as we do. I had a fellow student whose family was sick all the time. I've had a student who was just about all of his life in a wheelchair. Well, I had a member of the church at Sherman Drive, a good friend of ours, spina bifida she was born with. Used to be on a ranch out here close to Marfa years ago in her childhood. Been in a wheelchair almost all of her life. You think about the cases, and surely those people, just like I am, they would love to have good health. But in a lot of cases, it's very limited. I told you I saw a man one day in Foley, Alabama. Don't remember his name, but I cannot forget his case. Paralyzed from the neck down. And so he lies on his back in his nursing home room all day long. Now, how would you take that? What would you do? How would you keep balance? How would you keep from crying all the time? Or what would keep you from just wanting to beat your head against the wall and end it all? You think about that. Everybody of sound mind wants good health. And God knows that. But God says, I know you do. You can't always have it. It's not essential to being faithful. And that's what you see in the life of Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus and Trophimus and Dorcas and Lazarus. I want it. You can't always have it. And it's not essential to your faithfulness to Christ. And you have no right to use it as an excuse for not loving God and not loving your neighbor. 1 Timothy 5:23, Timothy had a lot of problems, and yet we still call his name. He was a good, faithful attendant and preacher of the gospel of Christ in the first century, but he had a lot of health trouble. And Eddie Ray Parker passed away just a few days ago, and he had had health trouble for years and years and years. And that last surgery was putting a pump in the front of his body to run pain medicine to the back of his body, so it's a direct route and you won't have to take so many pills. And it'll address the pain more critically. If it had only worked. It had only worked. Looked like he was going to. And then he passed away. Well, at any rate, just as now, people were willing in Bible times to spend whatever they had to get good health. You don't want to suffer. You don't want to hurt. So you spend. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 and 6, Mark says what Luke doesn't tell us. Luke was a physician. But Mark says, you know, this woman I'm going to tell you about, she'd spend all her living on physicians. And she wasn't any better. In fact, he said she got worse. Have you ever had a doctor like that? Or doctors like that? Said she not only didn't get better, after she spent all of her money, and she got worse. You see, because doctors only know so much about a little bit. It amazes the rest of us because we're not into science, in the nitty-gritty details of a lot of complex things. And we don't study those things, likely because we have very little interest in those things. We're glad somebody does study them, but they learn so little about them. It amazes the rest of us because we don't study them at all. It's part of the amazement. But we sit back and say, boy, I'm glad they can do that. Amen. Amen. I'm glad they can operate and do this and this and this. And it's amazing. Well, it is. But, you know, after a while you realize too, and they tell you, we can only do so much. And sometimes after the operations, the patient dies, and we have to live with that too. But at any rate, they only know a little about a little bit. That's just the way that it goes. But we'll spend money. We'll spend money, money, money to get good health. And number 9, Paul, who was appointed to suffer, Acts 9:16, was also provided a doctor. I've talked about that with you before. But doesn't that just show again God's regard for His people? Paul had persecuted the church and he'd kill people. So Jesus says, I'm going to show him how much he's going to suffer. But in the doing of that, he assigned him a physician that Paul would later call the beloved physician. Luke, and he writes, only Luke is with me. He needed Luke to help him to feel better on days when he did not feel good. Colossians 4:14, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11. If we live long enough, we face the infirmities of old age. But before then, we may have accidents and diseases and problems and pains and aches. But Ecclesiastes 12 is still the most fascinating chapter that gives us insight into old age. You look at old people and you see how they are. You read Ecclesiastes 12, you can read how we're all going to be, generally speaking, if we live long enough. But number 11, a point that should never be undermined, just as in the first century, with our doctors today, they had their doctors. God can do what doctors cannot do. God controls the doctors. God controls the sciences. God controls everything. And we pour out our hearts in meaningful prayer for sick people because we want God's will to be done. And we do not know whether or not He will listen in the sense of, yes, I'll grant that. Or, no, I don't think it's best to grant that right now. I understand this and this and this about this case that you don't know. But since the doctors know so very little, and God knows everything, we pray to God, let Your will be done in this matter. And if it can be Your will, we surely would love for You to spare the life of this person. I had a preacher friend in Florida who recently had to go to the hospital down there. I told you before, his wife was going to develop leukemia unless they got on a certain medicine. And so they wanted to get on the medicine, but then the insurance company turned them down. Very expensive medicine. I don't think I ever told you that finally the insurance company caved in and said they would. So his wife got the medicine that's going to prevent the leukemia, but then he had trouble with his blood pressure. He's an older man, older preacher. Blood pressure trouble got sky high. Had to go to the doctor, and all these tests are run. You know, they run them, cover everything, just about. They couldn't find the cause. That's what I'm saying. We can see where you're having trouble. We can see by the numbers that, boy, there's something very wrong. Well, what is it? We can't find it. We don't know. So, there's a big old hospital bill. Somebody's going to have to pay. And then he goes home. Well, and what was the good of it all? They could not tell him the cause of his sickness. Now, they do tell us on occasion what our problems are, and they hit it. They get it right. Somebody told me the other day, though, they've been told about something and they wondered if the doctor really knew. Sometimes they may be just kind of blowing us off and guessing about things because that's all they can do in certain situations. But I'm saying, and the last part of this lesson is, God says, I know all about the body, all about the spirit. I know all about all of this, and I know why it's causing this and this and this. I understand all that. Prayer matters. When I pray for sick people, it matters. I don't understand, brethren, that give up on prayer. I knew a preacher that gave up on prayer. Well, he said, well, I'm not giving up on prayer. I'm giving up. What he gave up was the request element of prayer. I'll still praise God in prayer. I'll still confess my sins in prayer. But he wasn't going to ask God to bless sick people because one of his kinsmen died after all these prayers had been offered. That's a fatal mistake to make regarding prayer. God answers according to His own will. And we need to keep on praying even when we don't know what God's will in the matter is. Let Thy will be done. Our desperation sometimes shows in prayer because the people for whom we pray are loved by us so much. And when they survive, we're so grateful. And when they don't survive, we're so very sad. But anyway, these are a few points that the Bible makes about health. Who in his right mind wants bad health? We don't want to be hypochondriacs. We want to retain our right feelings and right mind. And we thank God for our care, our doctors and nurses and medicines and easy access to pharmacies, all the things that we're just, as a spoiled people, we take for granted. And you go to a third world country and they don't have it that good. Why should I complain? Why should I complain about a toothache? Why should I complain about an ache? I'm bad to complain sometimes. But get your perspective and realize your blessings. God controls everything. And in the first century, when you're reading about history, you're reading about people that had to face sickness, maladies, and attend the funerals just like you have to do. May God help us to appreciate His blessings, to appreciate the health that we have, to be always sympathetic and empathetic and pray for people who desire our prayers and for whom we should pray. that they might be recovered. If you're here this afternoon, not a Christian, come in faith. Repent of your sins, make the good confession, be baptized into Christ. If you've done that and gone astray, come back right now. While together we stand, while we sing, won't you come?